What if you could produce clean fuel directly from sunlight with over 31% efficiency, shattering previous records? This isn't science fiction. It happened this week in Germany, and it's just one of several developments signaling that the hydrogen economy is finally moving from blueprint to reality. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, it's all about hydrogen. We're seeing a wave of news that's almost overwhelming, from multi-billion dollar production facilities coming online in the Middle East to major technology breakthroughs in Europe and sobering market realities in the US. It feels like we're at an inflection point.
That's exactly right, Susie. The theme this week is convergence. We're seeing massive supply-side investments, critical technology maturation, and concrete policy drivers all coming together. For Western companies, this means the window for strategic positioning is closing fast. Today, we'll break down what's happening in global hydrogen production, the new applications and technologies you need to know, and the market realities you can't ignore.
Let's start with supply, Troy. We're not talking about pilot projects anymore. I'm seeing headlines about facilities costing billions of dollars. What's the big story?
The big story is the sheer scale of production coming online, primarily from the Middle East and India. Take NEOM's green hydrogen facility in Saudi Arabia. It's an $8.4 billion project, now in its final construction phase. It will use 4 gigawatts of renewable power to produce 1.2 million tons of green ammonia per year. To be clear, this is the world's first utility-scale green hydrogen plant.
1.2 million tons. How does that change the game for Western buyers?
It establishes a new global benchmark for supply. For U.S. and European manufacturers, particularly in hard-to-abate sectors like steel, chemicals, and fertilizers, this means a reliable, large-scale source of green feedstock is about to hit the market. This directly impacts companies like Germany's Salzgitter, which just signed a 7-year deal with EWE for 10,000 tons of green hydrogen annually starting in 2030 for its low-carbon steel program. The NEOM supply will accelerate these kinds of transitions.
So, a European steelmaker now has more options. What about trading companies and distributors?
For them, this is about new supply chains. Ammonia is much easier to transport than pure hydrogen. Western trading companies need to be establishing logistics and partnerships to offtake this ammonia from Saudi Arabia and potentially from Oman, where Acme Group's $4.2 billion project is targeting 400,000 metric tons of green ammonia starting in 2030. They also need to watch India, which just launched its National Green Hydrogen Mission with a $2.4 billion budget, aiming to get production costs below $1.50 per kilogram.
So the actionable insight here is that the global supply map is being redrawn right now?
Precisely. Executives at European industrial firms should be actively engaging with these new Middle Eastern and Indian suppliers to negotiate long-term offtake agreements. If you wait until 2030, you'll be too late. The time to secure that future supply is now.
Okay, so massive new supply is on the horizon. But what about the technology to use it efficiently? Is it keeping pace?
In some areas, it's actually accelerating past expectations. The most significant news comes from Germany's Fraunhofer Institute. On June 9th, they unveiled a system that achieves a 31.3% solar to hydrogen conversion efficiency in real-world conditions.
31%. Put that in context for us. Is that a big leap?
It's a monumental leap. It dramatically improves the economics of green hydrogen by getting more hydrogen out of every sunbeam. It's a direct coupling system, linking a micro-concentrator photovoltaic array to a PEM electrolyzer without extra power electronics, which cuts energy losses. This is a key milestone on the path to the U.S. Department of Energy's goal of $2 per kilogram hydrogen by 2026.
And how does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
This makes on-site green hydrogen production far more viable. A European factory with sufficient space could deploy this technology to create its own fuel and feedstock, reducing reliance on pipelines or shipping. It creates a massive opportunity for manufacturers of advanced solar cells, PEM electrolyzers, and control systems. We're also seeing new partnerships like Lhyfe and Strabag in Germany forming to deliver these kinds of integrated on-site projects.
You mentioned new applications. Where is this hydrogen going to be used?
One of the biggest new demand drivers is data centers. The AI boom is creating an insatiable need for power.
FuelCell Energy just announced they're now offering standardized 12.5-megawatt power blocks for data centers, providing clean, reliable, on-site electricity. In fact, there's over $4.8 billion in fuel cell projects underway in the U.S. right now, many targeting this sector.
So if I'm a trading company or distributor,
you need to be sourcing the high-performance components for these systems. Think of companies like Australia's Sprintex, which is now pivoting its high-speed compressor technology specifically for fuel cells powering AI data centers. The demand for these specialized components is about to surge.
What's the key action then?
Western executives, particularly in the tech and industrial component sectors, need to evaluate how their technology can be adapted for the hydrogen value chain. Whether it's compressors, power electronics, or control software, the data center and on-site generation markets are creating a multi-billion dollar opportunity that requires immediate engagement with partners in the U.S. and Europe.
Troy, we've talked about massive supply and incredible technology. It sounds almost too good to be true. What are the market realities and headwinds we need to watch?
The biggest reality check comes from the aviation sector. ZeroAvia, a much-hyped hydrogen aviation startup that raised around $300 million from investors like Bill Gates and Amazon, just announced it's pulling out of Seattle and scaling back its ambitions.
Why is that significant? It's just one startup.
It's significant because it highlights the immense difficulty of infrastructure and commercialization, even with strong funding. It shows that the path from a successful demonstration to a commercially viable product is incredibly challenging, especially in a sector like aviation, which requires massive new refueling infrastructure. It's a warning that hype doesn't always equal market readiness.
So for manufacturers or trading companies betting on hydrogen aviation, this is a signal to be more cautious.
Exactly. It suggests a longer timeline and the need to focus on applications with more mature infrastructure like industrial heat, ground transport, or grid power. Wärtsilä's successful test of a large-scale 100% hydrogen engine for grid power in Spain is a perfect example of a more immediately addressable market. That technology is ready now.
What about policy? Is the support strong enough to overcome these hurdles?
The policy support is robust, but it's targeted. Look at the U.S. Department of Energy's multi-year program plan. It sets an aggressive cost target of $2 per kilogram of hydrogen by 2026 and just $1 by 2031. That's a powerful market signal. We're also seeing specific demand-side incentives, like Minnesota's new policy to support green hydrogen use in sustainable aviation fuel production. These policies create bankable demand.
That seems to contradict the ZeroAvia news.
Not at all. It shows where the smart money is going. The government is creating incentives for SAF, a drop-in fuel that uses existing infrastructure. It's a more pragmatic near-term approach than rebuilding the entire aviation ecosystem from scratch.
Is there a final risk factor executives should have on their radar?
Yes, and it's a big one. An MDPI study revealed that climate change itself could impact green hydrogen production costs by up to 20% in some regions by altering solar and wind patterns. For instance, some parts of North America could see cost increases. This means that when planning long-term investments, U.S. and European companies must incorporate climate risk modeling into their site selection and financial projections for hydrogen projects.
So the actionable insight is to follow the targeted policies and de-risk investments against both market and climate realities.
Correct. Don't chase every headline. Focus on sectors with clear policy support and existing infrastructure, and build climate resilience into your long-term hydrogen strategy from day one.
All right, Troy, it's been a dense week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the era of hydrogen mega supply is here. Driven by Saudi Arabia, Oman, and India, multi-billion dollar projects are set to flood the market with green ammonia. U.S. and European industrials must act now to secure long-term offtake agreements or risk being left behind.
Second,
technology is hitting critical cost and efficiency milestones, especially in on-site generation and power for data centers. The Fraunhofer 31.3% efficiency record and FuelCell Energy's focus on the AI market are creating new, high-value opportunities. This is a call to action for component manufacturers and tech firms to pivot their expertise into this rapidly growing ecosystem.
And the third takeaway?
The market is maturing, which means we're seeing both clear policy direction and the first signs of commercial shakeout. Follow the pragmatic government incentives, like the DOE's cost targets and Minnesota support for SAF. But heed the warning from ventures like ZeroAvia. temper enthusiasm with rigorous due diligence on infrastructure and commercial viability.
So secure your supply, find your niche in the new tech value chain, and be pragmatic about market readiness.
That's the strategy for this week.
Excellent analysis, Troy. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Join us again next week as we continue to track the developments shaping your competitive landscape.
Thank you for listening.
To make sure you never miss an episode of Troy Technical Intelligence, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay informed and stay ahead.